I'm Paul Wegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining me is Jonathan Whitney, local artist, musician, and co-founder of Flux Creative Consulting. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
So great to see you, even if we are looking at each other remotely this morning. I've always enjoyed working with you through the years, your contributions to the Northern Delaware and actually throughout Delaware musical community has always been astounding. You are, I once heard you referred to by one of the first ladies as Delaware's drummer laureate because you just seem to be everywhere all the time. But we're here today to talk primarily about your background in drumming and the evolution of drumming circles here in the Wilmington area and how they got introduced into the Summer Parks programs here in Wilmington. Let's go back, though, first, for people who aren't as familiar with you, about your background as a musician. How did you get started, and particularly, how did you get involved in percussion?
So my dad's a drummer. So my earliest memory as a kid is, I believe I was three, you know, the ages are kind of squirrely back then, but my earliest memory is going home from, I used to go from preschool to daycare. So I went from preschool, and instead of going to daycare, I took my friend's bus because I knew my dad's brother was dropping off a gold Ludwig drum set. And I skipped school, went home. Luckily, my dad was home because clearly three-year-old Jonathan was not thinking about how he was going to get into the house. And in the living room, set up on a red carpet, is a gold drum set. I still can see the cymbals. I can see the drum set. That's my earliest memory. So I grew up with drumming in the house. At almost no point in my life was I told to stop drumming. You know, I remember asking my mom that after I got home from college, because my two younger brothers are both drummers. And I said, was it this loud when I was coming up? And she said, yeah, but I always knew where you were.
Yeah. Now, is your dad your teacher?
I took my first lessons, my first official private lessons when I got to college. I grew up listening. My dad had reel-to-reel recordings of his gigs when he was a drummer. And so I grew up playing to those reel-to-reel recordings. Really, it's the same gig. I could probably play it now, you know, with like Car Wash and Brick House, you know, all those old top 40 tunes. And I used to play that over and over again on drum set. But it was funny, though, before that, I actually took my drum set apart. We lived right next to Glasgow High School's football stadium. And we could see it from one of the bedroom windows. You could see the football, the marching band. And I took my drum set apart, or my dad's drum set, to look like the drums in the stands, the way the drum line was set up with the bass drums on the side and the snare. And I was like, doom, cat, doom, doom, cat. You know, this play out, it was, you know, so that was my intro to drumline, which later on, you know, drumline became a big part of my life. That was the first time I got real instruction and technique, and it allowed me to tour with Jersey Surf Drum and Bugle Corps. It helped me get into the University of Delaware. Like, that was a big part of the transition and introduced me to drum circles.
So, okay. So were you a music major in college?
Yep. So I went in 1995 as a music education major. I actually got into Delaware as a chemistry major.
Okay.
Then I looked at my life and I was like, I'm practicing 4 hours a day. Why am I going to school for chemistry? So then I, you know, spoke with Harvey and auditioned and got in as a percussion major.
Okay. So you studied under Harvey Price when you were, you did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he was definitely a big influence. I mean, I came into as a music major having never seen a symphony orchestra before. So I hadn't been exposed to a lot. And he really helped expose me to so many different worlds and what it was to be a musician, a working musician. And, you know, and then all the instruments I hadn't started playing, you know, I played piano, but then taking that knowledge and moving it over to the marimba and the xylophone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Now, were you involved in band in high school?
Yep. I was involved in band all the way up through, you know, Bancroft, Gauger. Actually, I was with, if you remember, Joe Laughlin was a band director at Gauger from Glasgow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was with Joe from seventh grade all the way through high school. Transitioned to Glasgow. So, and that was great. It was a great experience, you know, and it really what that brought me in contact with, I mean, along with the band itself, but the instructors he brought in from marching band, Larry Colley, Jeff Domchek, Wes Morton, those are the guys that mentored me and showed me like this broader world of music, and then said, no, you can go to college. So I was one of the first people in my family to go to college, and they were able to say like, no, you can go to college for music. And okay. This is what it looks like. I was like, oh, that's a thing.
That's great. I mean, I was in marching band when I was in high school, and it's interesting because the percussion section is the only section that never gets a break. They're always, yep. When you're marching, the percussion's busy.
So. Nonstop. Yeah, I can tell you parade stories of, we played the Hercules Parade when they got inducted to the Disney Hall of Fame, 50 New York blocks, and you weren't allowed to stop playing the whole time.
Yeah.
He's like, go. But, I mean, it's an amazing place to get your hands together. The camaraderie, the community there is unbelievable. And that feeling is really part of what I feel like when I'm in the drum circle, is that love for just playing rhythm, and everybody's has a common goal, you know?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, let's segue to that. The drumming circle, what is the concept, and how did it get started here in the Wilmington area?
So it's funny because a lot of the music I do is based around, you know, theory and, you know, practice and technique and crafting, right? And the drum circle is a completely opposite space from that. It's about inclusivity. It's about empowerment. It's about bringing people together around a common thing and saying there is no wrong. Mm-hmm. It's all about you. It's all about you bringing yourself where you are. The first drumming circle I experienced was with an artist, Kalani, and it was through Drum Corps, actually. We got a sponsorship through Command Music, who they're the distributor for LP and a lot of, and Toca, two of the largest Latin percussion companies. And they brought us to their main offices, and we experienced a drum circle with him outside. And it was probably, I think at that point, 90 of us, maybe 100 of us were outside. And we played, and he led us all through these, you know, a couple exercises. And I was, this is a thing, you know, these were all musicians doing it. And so one day, David Christopher and I at the Episcopal Church of Saints Andrew and Matthew were talking, and they have a season called Season of Creation, where it's just a season of radical worship. And he was saying, I was thinking about having a drum circle during that. And I said, I'd love to do that. So that was the first time. We did it for 7 weeks, and the drum circle met for 3 weeks before, so probably 10 weeks total. And I'm putting up quotes right now, my radio quotes. We performed, but the thing was, at no point is a drum circle about performance in the sense of perfection. It's about performance in the sense of, this is what we do when we get together for an hour, and now we're doing that again, but in front of you for 10 minutes. Because it's not about this thing where, you know, I don't want people to get to the point where like, I didn't play that right. It's not what it is. No, it's about, man, it feels good to play together. Man, do you hear the sound we're making? Do you feel like how I'm connected to you now? You know, we start out every week with call and response. And that like I play something and they play it back. And that everyone feels that oneness that comes with that. And then along with that, they have moments where everyone gets to be the leader and do some calls or lead the circle. You know, so that passing around and that empowerment of, oh, I can do this, even though it's foreign to me right now. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it started, you know. And then so we did it for a year for 10 weeks. And the next time we did it for 10 weeks. And everybody said, let's keep doing it. So that was over a decade ago. And the drum circles just keep going. It's been amazing because because of how inclusive this space is. We have everyone from 3-year-olds all the way up to, I'm not going to say how old my elders are, but my elders. and then we have all demographics. You know, we've had years where there's been homeless people that have come consistently, and we've been able to help them with, I remember once there was a guy that was coming and he ended up having to get an infected ingrown hair removed. We didn't have the money to buy the antibiotics. So they did the surgery, but they didn't give him antibiotics. He didn't have the money. And we were able to just, you know, put around it, pass the hat, and get them antibiotics and take care of them. And there's a lot of stories like that, you know, where this community has come around, not just people at the church, but it's been open, you know, and everybody comes out. And so, you know, I guess we could cross over, like Laura comes to me to ask about the Rock Lot.
right. We can shift to that. But just quickly, so what I'm hearing is that this this is a way to use an art form that the participants don't need to have had experience in it, but they can come together and immediately participate as an equal in the circle.
Yep, right away.
Because they have something to contribute.
Mm-hmm. Because it's made accessible. And the cool thing is that we'll have people that are high-level drummers come, mm-hmm. and they can jump in too. Because like a high-level drummer can participate, and there's opportunities to solo and play or just work on your technique while you're playing these rhythms over and over again, you know? So all the levels are able to come and be a part of it.
Great. So let's shift to the Rock Lot in the Wilmington Parks. But first, let me remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest today is Jonathan Whitney, a local musician, percussionist, and co-founder of Flux Creative Consulting. Jonathan, taking the drumming circle and moving it into the Rock Lot and then expanding through Wilmington Parks as part of their summer program. How did that first begin and how has it evolved over the last 4 or 5 years?
It was funny. So we actually so the drum circle is year round, and then we stopped doing summers because nobody wants to be indoors during the summer. And we didn't really have an outdoor spot. The church has a couple small courtyards, but they weren't really conducive to drumming. And then Laura Simaroth reached out to me and said she had fundraised and built this space called the Rock Lot, which was for the community to program. And she wanted to like program it with things that brought people into the space. And so, 2017, May of 2017, we went outside and tried it. And it was an amazing experience because now not only do you have, you know, the word of mouth and like grabbing people in the street as I'm loading drums into the church, but as soon as we started playing, the apartment building across the street, kids are coming out, you know, kids are walking by and we're saying, come on in here, come on, you know, pulling people off the street and people were coming in and playing, you know, and even and the thing is the drum circle is open. We're there for an hour. If you can stop by for 5 minutes on the way from work, which people would just walk through, grab a drum, play for 5 minutes, and keep going, totally fine. One of my favorite moments for early on was there's a policeman that was patrolling, and he pulls over just to look what's going on, and he gets out and comes and drums for 5 minutes, and then hops out and goes, you know? But he's playing next to, like, several homeless people and, like, some kids that just ran over from the apartment are just, like, running around and then, like, playing for a little bit and running circles around the drum circle. Mm-hmm. So it's literally a mix of everybody coming out to be together. And that's, like, the core of what the drum circle is about. It's about being an open space so that people that normally wouldn't share space together can share space and realize that they have loves in common. They have all these things in common. Despite whatever their pasts are, you know, despite whatever has happened or is happening in their lives. So it's cool.
Now, what kind of instruments or equipment do you have on hand for people who show up?
Yeah, so we have a variety of things. So I bring my own djembe. We have several djembes, which is a West African drum. Mm-hmm. We have kungas, which is a Cuban
drum. And the djembes, they're hand played, correct? Mm-hmm.
Hand drums. It's all hand drums.
Okay.
There's a couple drums that have plastic heads that if people have trouble with their hands, you know, some of the older people have, you know, whether it be Parkinson's or any type of blood circulation issue, we can give them drumsticks and they're safe with drumsticks.
Yep.
But we play mostly hand drums.
Okay.
Like djembe's hourglass shaped hand drum. You have kungas, which used to be a rum barrel when it first started. So basically musicized rum barrels that we play that are there. We have these drums called tubanos, which are drums made up by the Remo Drum Company specifically for drum circles. I always joke that if there's ever, you know, if everything was gone on the world, there would be cockroaches left and tubanos because they're just indestructible. They're fiberglass. They have fiberglass heads. They just, you can't hurt them. And they're perfect for drum circles because nothing can happen to them. People can play. And the whole idea here is that we don't want to have to give a lot of corrections. No, don't do that. It's about letting people express themselves.
Right.
And we also lay out, so as it's evolved, we've been able to purchase blankets, and we put out blankets with smaller things like shakers and chimes and claves and things like that for kids to play with, or even everybody plays with them, you know. So a little bit of everything.
So you began at the Rock Lot. Has this expanded to other parks in Wilmington as part of the summer program?
Yeah, so this year, actually, we moved to the 7th and West Park, which is at the corner of 7th and West. Beautiful space that was also designed by the Wilmington Alliance. It's a larger space, very active corner. And so we've moved there. And I got to say, we've had over 25 people all for, I think we're in our third week, every day, you know, and the kids come back. We've been invited to other spaces. So we've played in a city county building. You know, people contact us to play in different spaces, but our home during the summer was the Rock Lot. And this year it'll be 7th and West every Tuesday, 6 to 7. Okay. And it's awesome being there consistently because things begin to happen because people know you're going to be there. I mean, last week, probably the coolest thing that happened was we set up in a circle and normally like we're all talking and everything. And a young kid, Amir, comes over and just starts call and response. Mm-hmm. You know, and the whole circle just says, okay, it does call and response. But for 15 minutes, we did call and response with this young kid. Had to be 7, 8 years old. And you could tell
that leading it?
He was leading it.
That's great.
He was leading it. And we didn't, there was no like, all right, that's enough. You know, we're going to start. We just let him go, you know? Yeah. And you could tell that like that. And I talked to him afterwards, actually. He says he drums on the walls of his house. I was like, oh man, everybody must love that. But it had to be the first time in his life where he was drumming and there were adults all paying attention to him and nobody said stop.
Yeah.
You know, so he just got to play. We were playing back and he was great. I mean, kids are more creative than we are. So he has great rhythm and they were like, all of the vocabulary was there. So, you know, so I talked to him and I said, you know, do you want to be our warm-up person for the summer? He's like, yeah. Actually, at first he said no. And then he came back to me a half hour later and he said, I think I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'll be the warm-up person. You know, so it's just little things like that happen and it makes you go, wow, you know, like this is why we do it.
That just fascinating stories. Yeah, I mean, the impact it has on people and like you talked about earlier, being able to bring people together and everyone's on an equal playing field, both literally and figuratively. Really exciting. Now, you are doing this on top of so much more that you do. I was talking about, you know, joking about you being the drummer laureate. I mean, I've known you for years participating on behalf of the Division of the Arts in some of our events, with Poetry Out Loud, and working with City Fest and the Boise Lowry Jazz Festival, and knowing your work as a teaching artist with Delaware Institute for the Arts and Education, and your work in building programming at the Delaware Art Museum. But more recently, you've created your own organization, Flux Creative Consulting, as a co-founder. Talk about how that came to be and what that's now allowing you to do out in the community.
So Flux came from Eliza Jarvis, my co-founder and I, my partner and I. We were just sitting and talking about like what's next in our lives. You know, we were both at the museum, and in the museum, there's a track where people move through. You know, you start out as an intern to like an associate to an assistant director to a director and sort of move through that system. And a lot of times you move out of the museum you're in and move into other communities. And for us, we had a love for Delaware. You know, we both live in Wilmington. So really in Wilmington, but the state itself. And we're saying, how do we affect our communities? You know, and we had this skill set where, as we worked with community partners, which is our role at the museum, we saw that we had skill sets that many organizations could use. Not always the same, but in different ways. You know, we can sit down together and plan a 600-person event that has kids playing soccer and art and everything else. But for us, it takes 2 or 3 hours versus, you know, weeks for people that don't do that every day.
Right.
And the same thing on the production side. So, you know, we're keen on like on mission, like why we do what we do. And so like a year ago, May 31st, when the riots happened in Wilmington, Eliza and I were texting back and forth that night. And first thing in the morning, we go down to Market Street and we go, how can we amplify the artist's voice in this moment? And give them a space to react. We didn't use the word heal because it wasn't time to heal yet. You know, we all know that. But give them a space. And so I called my brother who works at DuPont. And he's on the executive track there and his mentor. And we talked to Joe Del Tufo. And we came up with this project where we commissioned artists to paint storefronts. And when we did that project, that's when we really, she and I realized that now's the time for Flux to happen, to help organizations connect more deeply with the community. That was right. That's where the switch hit. And then, well, now you have two artists that are going, who have worked with nonprofits most of their life, go, now we're going to start a for-profit business. So we start to figure out what that looks like. But in its essence, I mean, Flux helps people's dreams come true. You know, with the Wilmington Alliance, they have Laura Simmeroth, who's an amazing grant writer and dreamer, but she's a one-woman shop. Yeah. And so we can come and help her and say, like, look, what do you need us to do? Right. With CityFest, we can help Tina position herself in different ways. You know, when it came to COVID hitting, how do you have a concert? How do you have a performance when you can't have people? Or month we're allowed to, but next month we're not allowed to. Mm-hmm. And so helping to come up with these ideas of hybrid and flexible solutions, you know? And then sort of we took that, and next thing you know, we're working with the Metropolitan Wilmington Urban League doing debates, helping them live stream those, and working with the Delaware Theater Company, and working with the Delaware Contemporary on their first Fridays. So it's just sort of grown from there.
Well, I just think it's a fascinating service you're providing now. I mean, with your expertise, it's really a great contribution to the community. In the 30 seconds we have left, is there a website people can visit to learn more about what you do?
Yeah, so www.fluxcreativeconsulting.com is the business address. And then jwwmusic.com is my music side. I'll be at the Delaware Theater Company from July 13th through July 15th with my show, Celebration of Black Joy.
Well, Jonathan Whitney, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a delight.
Thanks for having me, Paul. It's awesome. Thank you.